Marvin spoke to me yesterday. I left a note about calling you this afternoon or sometime on the unemployment insurance situation.
Oh.
And this is a report in on that. I've been trying the last hour or so to get Wilbur Mills to follow up on a conversation that he had with Andy Biemiller about an hour and a half ago. The situation, as Andy reports it, and he's the last one to have talked to Wilbur, Henry talked to him this morning, is that Wilbur has said, yes, he wants to go along on substantially the Senate version, but he'd like to have it put in a different form, which will make it easier. Now, I can't take that from Andy, and Andy didn't get a clear enough picture of it, so my thought is to try to get as specifically as possible what Wilbur Mills has in mind, because I gather that if he means what that report sounds like, it's all right with us.
Yeah. If it's all right with you, I just rely on you. What I'm trying to do is to see somebody as Johnny at the rat hole on our important measures, and I don't really think we can crowd him until we get our tax bill passed, which I would hope would be the middle of next week.
Senate, you mean, or
House?
Well, okay, he said he'll take this up Monday or Tuesday, which in Wilbur Mills probably means the latter part of next week.
Yeah, only whenever he'll take it up. Then I wanted to be sure I called Meany and missed him. But I wanted to be sure that the administration took the initiative in shoving it where they don't say that we're just lackadaisical and we're uninterested. And I would overwhelm Meany with the demands and say the president's eating me up about unemployment compensation. And here's what I'm doing. And we're checking with Long and we're checking with with Mills and see that Biemiller talks to the appropriate conferees and see what Wilbur wants us to do. Now, I don't imagine you can be very successful in a fait accompli bringing it about until he has his tax bill. That's going to be a big one, and that's something that he's going to be really working on. He's trying to get his rule today, and he's kind of like I am with Earhart here and Senghor here and everybody coming in. He's got his problem, but I want to be sure that we make a fine record.
Well,
now, I've also been shoving Meany on the undersecretary, and I've got the man to agree now to accept New Zealand, and I've gone out for Agrima on New Zealand. I assume that if you want to move Reynolds up to that place, as I recall, that's what you want to do, wouldn't it?
That would be my recommendation, strongly.
Then you ought to give some thought to somebody that, if you can, you and I can exercise a little initiative that will be acceptable to him. He can't turn down, but that can work with us. And it would be a real asset if we just wait for him to bring in somebody. He may want to recommend a carpenter or plumber or something. And you ought to really get a good technician that's attractive and able and could carry on in any one of the places. If you can think of someone that would have to be acceptable. Now, I'm thinking about somebody like this. Kirkland, but he wouldn't let us have Kirkland at all, but somebody that you like, that you think's real effective with labor. And I don't know who is available. I would imagine that field's rather limited.
Let me,
maybe a fellow like Dunlap would be acceptable to him. I don't know whether he's fellow that's head of this board, whether he'd be available for that place or not. But I'd look over the country if I were you and try to find somebody where we could get four or five names that he'd be in a position of having to react on them instead of us having to turn somebody down.
Let me mention a wild one, which I haven't to anybody else, and you may very well think it's completely ridiculous. How about Dave Dubinsky?
It'd be fine for me.
What do you think?
I would like it. I like it. I don't know. I just think it'd be fine.
It just seems to me that it would have some very. I've got some calmer suggestions if you don't think well of that one. But I.
Oh, I like it. I like it. I like it.
Suppose I not say anything to anybody about it at all. And
all right.
If you feel at some point that that's appropriate one, I think it's got some advantage.
He couldn't turn it down.
Oh, I really think he'd like it. And you know he would help us here.
I mean he couldn't turn it down.
That's right. Oh, no, he's, Dave Dubinsky is as close to being a personal friend as George Meany has.
And I guess he's as good to me as anybody I know.
I won't be, now I've got a couple of backup suggestions. The next one in order would be, Jack Lyons, who is the president of the Iron Workers. Very attractive. You know him?
No.
Building trade. He's the only young, attractive building tradesman they've got. I don't think he would take it, and I think we're probably as well off to have that kind of force working with us privately. Then the third backup name in my book would be this fellow Bob Perrin. Now we're getting to the area you're talking about, competent technician. Pat McNamara's assistant. Who was George Meany's suggestion when we put Stanley Rudenberg in here? So there's
the
that
only thing I would test that on. I would just be sure. I like the fella. There was a period when he didn't like me, and I'd want to test his loyalty to the president very carefully beforehand. And I think if you decide we want to get to suggesting, that you'd have to sit down and see whether he was really an admirer of mine and whether he believed in me or whether he didn't. If he did, I would be perfectly willing to go with him because I thought he was much more competent than Pat. And I rather liked him. But there were some very bitter things that he said about me, Pat did, as I remember one time I got sick. I've forgotten the details, but I had to go home with an operation, I believe, a kidney operation. And just out of the clear blue sky, this damn fool McNamara got up and made the most denunciatory statement about me not being interested in unemployment compensation. And I remember that the doctor was with me, and he came across the ticker, and they had written me a letter, and he'd given out the letter before it got to me. So they checked into it, and it seemed this guy had prepared it. It was kind of an ADA thing, yeah. Now, that ought to be looked into, not until you get serious with him. I'd take these other suggestions first. But if you did, I'd just say now, I don't know how you feel. You feel that you'd be interested in something of this kind. If he's interested in it, then I'd say, do you feel that you have the feeling toward the president you ought to have to be one of his trusted advisors and lieutenants and managers? Because he really is a campaign manager for me and my program and my policies. And he can't be for something he doesn't believe in. And if he does, then I would go with him. I just rely on your judgment. But I think you ought to know that these things did exist. And I don't know anything about the truth of them. I don't remember. As a matter of fact, in my judgment, I didn't know anything about what Pat is talking about. It's something that somebody got him to do. Kind of, they suspect a lot of evil things about you sometimes. And I think that was one of those
things.
He's
over at OEO now. And I have some reason to think you never have.
Yeah. All right. What about your airline strike?
Well,
are we going to get together?
I wanted to ask you about that. If that thing goes the way it looks to me and the last it's going, I'd like to ask whether I'm free to blast off on it. I think it's a pretty outrageous piece of business that's been carried on. I told these American Airlines people when they called me Sunday, because I understood that to be our line, as far as I was concerned, the public interest was going to be violated if they went 0.1% over the IAM business, and gave it to them just about as hot and heavy as I could. That's the last I've heard for them. I then went ahead and frankly, and I haven't been in a position to report this to anybody else, made what I think were pretty complete arrangements to buy us 6 weeks of time if we needed it. And now when I hear that there's a settlement that's being made at 7%, it just makes me...
It does me too now.
Awful mad.
Did they know that we had... I asked the last I heard of it, I told them I wanted an extension and to try to get the union, the others, to say we didn't want to have people legislating here, and I understood that American would stand and wouldn't agree to anything that was excessive, and I thought we could cajole the unions. I told Meany that I sure thought they ought to try to work on them. He didn't indicate he had much influence with them, but this was talk, just general talk on something else, that we ought to say to them, and he ought to say to them, try to stay within line of the settlement to not bring pressure on us, because we might get a law that would be bad. And then I wanted to say to the unions that let's have a 6 weeks, 2 months extension to get Congress out of here. But I didn't gather we'd made any progress on that.
Mr. President, I got a commitment from Horace to exactly that effect on Sunday. Now it's shot down now, and I don't know how much. I was out of town, and there have been several cooks in this, and I expect that he would not deny that there was any such commitment. All he asked me was to give him a free crack at this thing for 2 days. I said, you get it, and there won't be any other action on it. But I thought that we had then protected ourselves enough with the company that, I just had a knockdown drag out with Spader from the on the phone. Monday, tell them I could not go along with anything above the 5%. But I think someplace they got the impression that we weakened on it.
No, I don't think so. I never have given them that impression. Of course, I haven't talked to anybody except to you and Joe Califano, and I told Joe to get you to do this. That's the last discussion I had. I said the only thing I can conceive of, he called and said he wanted to see if there's anything else they were going out, and I said the only thing I could conceive of is we ought to threaten the union with the law, and we ought to threaten the airline with their future, and tell them that they can't ever get anything of Pan American or fight any other new routes or anything else if they cave in. And that's the way I'd play both of them to get it back in the election.
Well, Joe told me that. I told him I thought you were asking too much of us, and that I didn't think I could get it, and I spent Sunday on it, and seemed to me your instinct had been completely borne out, because I got from Horst something that isn't worth a single cent, because Horst is Horst, and this was just oral in the two of us. But that seemed to me exactly the right answer,
Do you think we ought to say to the union?
I think it's too late now. They've agreed. They've reached an agreement on everything except a local issue out in Los Angeles. It's as nearly as we can figure out, it's about 7%. If I were running one of those other five airlines, I would be so mad at this point that I wouldn't know what to do, but they can't do much about it, so it isn't too serious. But I'd like to be in a position, if they come out with a 7% settlement, I'd like to be in a position to say I think it's outrageous.
I think you ought to talk to Gardner, and you ought to talk to Joe, and let's try to get a coordinated position. Be sure we tell them the same thing.
Well, fine. I'll let you know if there's any...
I understand Esther's got some appointment on the ticker, they tell me.
I talked with her. She
ought to be to have more sense than to go out to Barry Goldwater's Minute Women.
I don't know why that meeting was put on, but I talked with her about this meeting that was on the ticker, too. And she told me, among other things, she talked to John Robinson about it this morning.
I know it, but he doesn't know anything about it. And I told him, I said, I'll bet you $4 she's going to use him now if the damn fool even took
right.
a call from
her. That's right. That's the way it is. And I had long talk with her and frankly told Marvin that I thought just in personal terms we're going to have an awful wet hand on our hands if we stopped that meeting. And I tried to make as clear as I could to her the danger she was playing with. But to have called it off at 1 o'clock would have been...
When is the meeting?
The meeting has now been held.
With the women?
Well, you see, there are two meetings. She's out there on an all-day meeting. And then this other thing that was on the ticker was arranged this morning, apparently, by a special group of women, this bread boycotting group. So she's out there on a regularly scheduled meeting, with respect to which I guess there's not much question. This other is arranged on some special basis. And she's having that special meeting. Well, let's see. Well, it's over now.
I thought that woman had more judgment than to go to Arizona. I just sent her out of money.
Well, we just got to get her out of this business as quickly as possible.
Okay, all right. Bye.
Thanks very much.